Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. Bob Getty in the Southern Bank Corps studio, and a special guest host today, Daniel Stewart from Southern Bank Corps, normally our Tuesday baseball analyst, going to sit in for the whole show with me. Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate you coming.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
All right, so as we said, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Hattiesburg. Daniel knows a thing or two about that.
Just a little bit.
Dickie's Barbecue opens the show for us every day, or most every day. Great place to cater your next event. Great place to have dinner any night of the week. You want a good meal. Dickie's will provide it for you and your family. And it is a wonderful place to cater baseball or any upcoming activities. Strongly recommend that you give our friends at Dickie's Barbecue a call. Well, Daniel, here we are, man, and we are down the stretch. What, I think three series left, if I'm not mistaken. The eighth RPI, number eight RPI in the country as of yesterday morning when I last looked. Ranked 12th and 13th in every major poll.
Mm-hmm.
Have been kind of through a storm. It appears to me the storm may be over, and you really, when you look back, could you have asked for the Golden Eagles to be in a better national position than they are right now?
No, you can't. I mean, we've kind of fussed for years. We don't get that recognition we feel that we deserve. Well, obviously now we're getting some credibility. You know, we went 3-1, bumped up, I think, six spots in some of the polls. Yeah. So back to number 12. I'm always a little nervous about rankings, but I really don't think our players and our coaches really focus on it too much. But it does seem to be we're getting some of that recognition because we're, like you said, kind of out of that storm. It seems like we're looking forward and moving on.
What's the difference? Is it just been the years of consistent winning that have finally gotten the national poll voters to look seriously at USM baseball?
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue with our consecutive 40 win streak. I mean, it really is. You got a consistent product year in, year out. You look at some teams like an LSU this year. They're a little bit down. You know, there's not those ups and downs that other teams seem to have. Now, you know, obviously SEC is going to get some credit because of the SEC. But Southern Miss in our conference has done well year in, year out, and we're playing the teams in the SEC, and we're competing with them and beating them. So I think it's only natural to get the recognition that we're getting now, and it's nice to see.
How much of it do you credit that preseason gauntlet that they ran through?
It certainly helps because you look back and say, hey, especially midseason where we were in a slump, we actually didn't fall as far as I thought we would fall.
Right.
But I think the voters look back and say, hey, you had big wins. You know, the Oregon State, the Baylor win, the Ole Miss, Alabama, Mississippi State wins on those teams that are doing really good now. We beat those teams earlier on in the year. So I think we did get some credibility and some credit towards those wins. But yeah, it's good to see. It's fun to watch. And I'm happy about the position we're in right now going into these last three weekends.
I asked several of the players at practice yesterday how they block out that noise about, you know, all the national rankings, and they will tell you that they don't pay any attention to it much, but I just find that hard to believe.
It is. I mean, as a player,
did you
I played, I don't even think we were ranked. I think we were preseason number 20 or 21 my junior year.
And you were aware of that.
And you were aware of it. You knew what the expectations were. But I can't really say that it was stress. We did not have a great year that year, so I don't know if that was telling. But the player, as a player, you know. Because you're a competitor. You want to compete. You want to be number one. But at the end of the day, it really only matters where you sit that last game of the year.
Yeah. How do you see the team playing right now?
I think we are, I don't know if it's credit to the rotation, even though Camden Clark had a rough outing last weekend. It seems like whatever, you know, the yips we had or our slumps we were in, whatever, it seems like we've gotten past that. The body language is a lot better. The energy is a lot better. We're taking better swings at the baseball, too. I mean, a lot of hard-hit balls. I mean, we still have our fair share of pop-ups and groundouts, but there's a lot more hard-hit balls now than there were two or 3 weeks ago.
I heard that term again yesterday. I've said that myself. I don't know if it's my imagination. You played the game. You can tell me. But I told Oz yesterday, the last couple of weekends, I've seen more of that body language that I saw early in the year from the baseball team. Now, is that a real thing?
It's a real thing. It definitely is. And it all's tied to, you know, a mental viewpoint, a mental case and stance where you are. When you're feeling good and you're playing good and things are going like they should, that's going to get contagious and it's going to give you some confidence. You're going to, you know, carry yourself, have a little swagger, you carry yourself a little bit differently, and it translates to success on the field. It absolutely does.
All right, now comes Tulane again. Played them just a week ago. Is that a good thing or a bad thing to play these teams like this back-to-back Tuesday nights?
I mean, it's not a bad thing. You know, you kind of maybe ideally want a little bit of space, but at the same time, you kind of know what to expect. Your scouting report's probably not going to change. We are going to be playing on their home turf, and anytime you play in Louisiana, it's a different environment. I mean, some of the most rowdy games I ever played in were at Tulane or Delgado Community College in New Orleans, so going to be a fun atmosphere. And you know, the record may not show it, you know, be as outstanding as ours, but Tulane's a good ball team, and we can't take them.
Had to walk them off.
Can't take them for granted. Exactly. So it's going to be a hard fought game.
Yeah. Talk about those environments you played in New Orleans. I've been to a couple of games at Tulane. It was pretty rowdy, and you know, they just love life down there.
They do.
And they really, really pull for their teams, don't they?
So it seems like any chance those guys get to, you know, maybe have a cold beverage or two, they're going to do it. I'll never forget, you know, Delgado Community College. I believe it's in Metairie. Because back then, alcohol was not really common at baseball games like it is now. But I'll never forget looking down that third base fence. There was a fence right there in foul territory. Bunch of guys standing on the fence, every one of them with a Bud Light bottle in their hand. Rowdy, hollering, you know, they definitely know how to do it New Orleans.
Yeah. McCarty English going to start tonight. McCarty's had his ups and downs.
Sure.
But you got to – when you got a guy with talent like he does, and I don't think anybody can argue how talented the kid is, you just got to keep putting him out there, don't you, Daniel?
You do. You can't sit him. That's not going to do anybody good. The only way to kind of get out of some situations is to put yourself back in that same situation and try to fight through it. He's obviously talented. He, you know, struggled a little bit on some of those weekend starts. Maybe these, you know, give him a little bit of extra rest. You know, let him have a midweek start here and see if he can go three or four. Now, I don't know if they're going to do that. It's probably going to be two and he's done. But, you know, the more quality innings he can put together, like we were talking about a second ago, that mentality, it's going to feed into more successful outings later on.
All right, tell me if this ever happened to you and how frustrating this is for a pitcher. You got Camden Sustrom.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out and he throws seven solid innings. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just looks smooth as silk. Then you bring in your reliever who's been really, you know, a
really
great
good.
Guy for you all year, and two fluky things happen. You get what should have been an infield hit, bounces to the third baseman, but it bounces over his head, one of those freak things.
Yeah.
And then Ock throws one of those rare up pitches that got away from him a little bit, and they hit it out and win the game. And Camden Sundstrom takes the loss. I mean – Doesn't get the win.
Yeah, he got a no decision.
How does that make a pitcher feel?
It doesn't feel great, but at the same time, you know that whoever came behind you, that was not their intent. Their intent was to go out and to, you know, close that game out for you. And Josh Ock has done really, really well this year.
You don't throw the blame on Josh.
No, you can't, but that's baseball. There's some quirky little things that'll happen. And, you know, it just goes to show – you can make bad pitches and hitters might not take advantage of them, but every now and then, if you get a ball up, a good hitter is going to take advantage of it. And it just happened to be one of those moments that they did. And it was the decision maker in the ball game.
Well, it was that kid's second home run that day. So clearly he could clear the fence.
Sure.
And, They're all good, aren't they? I mean, South Alabama had top quality D1 baseball players.
Yeah, they're all D1 athletes practicing every week to beat you. And they're definitely capable, one of the better teams in the conference. So, you know, we can't let up at any time on any of these teams.
And another good one tonight. The first pitch is at 6 o'clock. You can catch it on ESPN Plus, of course. And it's going to be another exciting night.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
No question. Hey, as we head to the break, and we're going to be hearing from some catchers here, which is interesting because Daniel knows a thing or two about them as well, on the other side of the break. But as we head there, let me remind you about Forest Healthcare. They remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you are the most important player. So you be sure now. You get an annual physical every year. You exercise. You eat right. You follow your doctor's instructions. And when you need health care, Forest Health will be there with expert care, and it's right here close to home. ForestHealth.org is the place you want to go for your medical care. Hey, and don't forget, MCS Home Center handing out 2,000 T-shirts Saturday at the Peak. We hear that Scott Barry's going to hand them out himself. I'm coming to see that. But 2,000 T-shirts. I've seen them. MCS Home Center bleeds black and gold. You're going to want one. Be the first of one of 2,000 to show up at the Peak Saturday, and you'll get one for free. Daniel and I will be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, you need tires for your car or truck? Only one place to go. That's Eagle Tire West. You heard the name. Eagle Tire West, Highway 98 West. That's where Matt Warren, former baseball star himself, and his staff sell premium Goodyear tire products, and they provide full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. They've been family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. Also want to say hello to our wonderful friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. That's the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are beautiful cars. They're all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And my friend Daniel Stewart from Southern Bancorp here with me today. I'll bet you'll know where a guy could go buy a Genesis if he needed a local loan and he had good credit.
Yeah, I mean, I might have a guy in mind you could talk to get that set up for you.
Something tells me that you could. Okay, Daniel, we're going to hear from some catchers today. Now, you pitched at a very high level, obviously, here at Southern Miss. Before we bring on the first interview, tell me, how and why is a catcher important to a pitcher?
Well, you know, I don't know of any other, you know, setup in sports where chemistry between two players is more important. Catcher needs to know how your pitches are going to move. He needs to know your tendencies. He needs to know what you like. Now, it's different because now most pitches are called from the dugout. But, you know, if coach calls a changeup and, you know, normal changeup may fall, but mine goes left to right, a catcher's going to need to know that, because the worst thing that can happen is pass balls and have something, you know, get out of sync there and you're starting to put people on base. So having a catcher that understands your way of pitching and how you pitch, the rhythm you pitch, everything about it is really, really important.
A rotating catcher, Southern Miss's rotating catcher, Lawson Odom, really had a good weekend and hit a home run. The team really celebrated that. I had a chance to talk to this kid yesterday. I want you to hear what he has to say, Daniel, and then I want to get your observations. Here's Lawson Odom. Okay, Lawson Odom is on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And Lawson, congratulations on a really good weekend. I know that this weekend at South Alabama had to feel pretty good to you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. It felt good. Great weekend series win, and boys were rolling. Can't wait to get after tomorrow.
All right, Lawson, I told you I watched the replay several times when you hit the home run. I was amazed at the reaction in the bullpen and the reaction in the dugout. Your teammates were really, really happy for you. Describe the hit. Describe that moment.
It was awesome to see all the guys. I feel like this season has been a really good story. It's been ups and downs, and we've really grown to be really close. And I feel like recently you can tell we've all been playing for each other, and everybody's trying to do get the big hit, get the big strikeout for the person coming behind them or coming in front of them.
Okay, so you're rotating time with Tucker Stockman. How difficult would it be to catch every game as a catcher?
I feel like that's just something you want to do, is catch every game, and because playing and catching every game would be awesome, but it for sure would be a lot of wear and tear on the body, so it's awesome to have me and Tuck back there rotating and just giving it our all every single time we get a chance to be out there.
I want to ask you a couple questions about the catching position. Is every pitcher different? Do you have to catch every pitcher differently?
I would say yes and no. Coach Brewer does a really good job with both me and Tucker, and he kind of simplified it for us, like you have a hitting approach and all that kind of stuff. So we kind of take that aspect into catching. So we have a catching approach, so if it's a sinker slider guy or a rod curveball guy or crossfire guy or whatever it is. So we kind of treat it like a hitting approach back there on the plate. So we have three or four approaches that we take to three or four or five different guys that we use for those specific guys.
All right, take us through the process. Who calls in the pitch? Pitches relayed to you, or do I have it reversed?
Coach Oz or Coach G has a button that goes to my ear or Tuck's ear, and it tells us fastball wherever, slider wherever, and the pitcher also has the same thing that's in my helmet as in his hat.
You played for a pretty famous Golden Eagle in high school. What did you learn from your high school baseball coach?
Just the little things every single day. It was he was super tough on me, and I feel like that's helped me at the next level. He didn't let me take a day off and just played multiple positions, and I think he's done a really good job, as you can see the success he's had in that West Jones.
All right, you struggled a little bit at the plate early on, but you really seem to have bounced out of that. Take us through that process. When a college baseball player is in a hitting slump, what is their mentality, and how do you work out of it?
I just feel like you have to take it day by day, and when you get your opportunities, you learn from it. Look at your mistakes. Look what you did great in that at bat. Even though if you don't get a hit or get an whatever productive AB, you just got to find something that you can build off of and keep positivity and be confident.
All right, I see you, Pete, when you're catching, you're very, very animated. You're very excited. You're very into the game. Describe that for us.
I feel like that's just a thing that you can bring every single day. That doesn't have to have talent or anything else. That's just you personally bringing it every single day, and hopefully by you bringing energy helps the pitcher bring energy and overall have a better game behind the plate and the pitcher be nails.
All right, Lawson, what's it like being on this top 20 baseball team?
It's been awesome. I think it's more than just that, just the relationships and brotherhood and everybody doing one thing after for somebody else, and seeing the reaction and everything. If you get a hit, everybody's rooting for you and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's more than just that. I think it's just best friends for life and everything like that.
I have to ask you this. I've asked a lot of your teammates this. I know you try to blanket out all the noise around you, but let's just be honest. Top 10 RPI, 8, I think, as we're doing this interview, top 15 all year long. Is it hard to block all that out?
I feel like it's not. I mean, I feel like we don't really look into that as much. I feel like it's just a standard here, and if we handle business at practice and on the field, I feel like all that takes care of itself. So I feel like it's not like we're looking at that and seeing whatever and all that. And so I feel like just taking it every single day and being your best at practice and bringing it every day at the field and at the game it takes care of itself.
All right, final question. How have you matured and changed since you came here, and how happy are you with your game as we sit here?
I feel like you just got to, like I said, like hitting, you just got to find something every single day that you did good, and you did something bad that day, try to figure out the next day how to become better at what you were bad at the day before. And I feel like if you just do that every single day, you'll look up and then be in a good spot.
Well, best of luck to you the rest of the year. Congratulations on a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Daniel Lawson Odom, when you're pitching, Do you have favorite catchers?
Oh, absolutely. For whatever reason or another, yeah, you definitely have favorites, and however they set up or however they receive, frame the ball, you know, you definitely have some favorites that you like to pitch to.
Did you hear him say anything that surprised you?
No, I really didn't. And as I'm listening to that, it just kind of goes back to the baseball program that we have. In all these interviews I've heard, I've never heard a kid sound like he's selfish, sound like he's ungrateful.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
They sound like really good kids. And the philosophy, I think, has always been, whether it's, you know, Coach Denson, Coach Palmer, Coach Ostrander now, Coach Barry, they want to recruit good kids. They want to recruit kids that are going to mesh well, support each other. They don't want the prima donnas. They don't want these guys that are selfish. So when you get a bunch of guys that are fighting for each other, playing for each other, supporting each other, only good things can kind of come out of that. I mean, you know, you think about it, imagine, and I can't even really remember looking at one of our players and saying, hey, that guy's got a bad attitude. I don't ever remember saying that. So says a lot for our team and what makes us special.
Yeah, I was told there was one, and he transferred to Florida.
I heard about him.
So yeah. We don't care about him. a kid like Lawson Odom, too, here's what I love about him. Look, Lawson Odom, he hadn't played a lot. He's a junior. Lawson Odom could have transferred to Southeast Louisiana, UNO, just a bunch of schools that would have welcomed him, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But he didn't want to do that. He even up until this weekend, the kid was still struggling at the plate. And what does he do? He fights through it, hits a home run, gets two big base hits. Those are the kind of kids you want on your team.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a feel-good story. You know, he's a somewhat local kid, you know, Southern Miss.
Laurel.
The home team for him growing up in Laurel, West Jones, playing for Trey Sutton, you know, like you said, a Southern Miss legend. This is where he wants to be. This is where Lawson Odom wants to play. And, you know, it's just evident in his attitude. And he waited his turn. He knew he had some lumps. He waited his turn. I hope that he can continue to do well, because we've kind of had some situations in the DH spot. You know, who's that person going to be? It'd be nice to have Lawson Odom, Tucker Stockman's flip-flop, catch DH, and kind of give some stability in the bottom of the order and get us back to you know, Seth Smith and Urban at the top.
And the good news is both these kids will be back. They're both juniors.
They'll be back.
Both catchers are juniors.
Yeah. And that is if Tucker Stockman doesn't want to join the NFL, 6'4", 230.
He could.
He is a big boy.
He's a big, stout dude, man. I'm gonna tell you another one. And he came up to me in the dugout yesterday, and I was waiting for practice to end, and he's so full of personality, is Ben Higdon.
Yeah.
That's another kid that you look at him and say, aren't you supposed to be over on the practice field? It's spring football. Aren't you a linebacker on the football team?
Oh, yeah.
Lawson Odom's not that
– No, he's not
that physical kid, is he?
He's not.
Yeah. We're going to continue. Daniel Stewart on the Super Talk Eagle Hour with me today. Really appreciate that. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio. He knows a thing or two about that organization. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is available on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play it for you. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This segment of our program every day is sponsored by our good friends at DBAT on Hardy Street. That's where you go for baseball and softball training. If you're an adult athlete, maybe you play tennis, pickleball, whatever it may be. They can get you a program going there that'll make you be the best you can be at that sport. And then I'll tell you what, afterwards, if you want the best buffet lunch that you'll find anywhere in the Pine Belt, go where the Pine Belt's been eating for 25 years. That's Movie Star Restaurant. And they serve Southern comfort food 6 days a week, 11 to 2, Monday through Friday, 5 till 8 on Saturday night, Friday night. They do have a buffet, and you can order off the menu on Friday night, and then, of course, the Sunday buffet, 11 to 2. Movie Star Restaurant. Daniel, that's where when you go eat lunch, you just eat and eat and eat, and then you go take a nap.
100%. 100%. You know what movie star really has? A lot of people don't like. They have the best meatloaf on Sunday afternoon at buffet. Love
you're,
it. You're so
right.
good.
You're correct about so good. That. And as good a catfish on Friday as you'll eat. Any. But you're right about the meatloaf.
Love people, the meatloaf.
You never hear anybody talk about the meatloaf, but it's all good there, isn't it?
All good.
It's like grandma cooking for you.
Well, you know, my mom's listening right now. Uh-huh. At least she says she made a really good meatloaf, but, you know, movie star gives it a run for its money.
In Meridian, we hear that she's listening.
She's in Meridian.
So we really, really do appreciate that. You know, Daniel, the softball team is doing really, really well. The best that they've done in many, many years. And they've got a big series this weekend against, I believe, Monroe. Yeah. They could take first place if they could win the series. So, just like in baseball, pitcher, catcher, very important. Casey Bennett is the catcher for the Lady Eagles softball team. Kelly talked to her this week. Let's hear what she said. I haven't heard this interview, Daniel, and then we'll talk a little bit about softball.
Sure.
All right, Bennett, Louisiana girl.
And not just in, you're not a one sport athlete. You've never played softball. You've played them all. Tell us about that.
I grew up playing a lot of sports. I grew up playing seven sports. I did cross country, flag football, volleyball, soccer, obviously, tennis.
As if that isn't enough?
Yeah, I think that's about it right there.
Okay. And actually, you haven't always been a catcher. The transition to catcher kind of came late in your career.
Yes. So I started out being an outfielder. I was a left fielder. And then I started to transition to infield because I got greedy and I wanted to touch the balls. Like, I'm not getting a lot of action out here. So then I moved to third base. And then I was like, I still want to touch the ball some more. So then I transitioned to catcher. And it's a love-hate relationship, obviously. Like, who wants to get hit by a ball? Blocking and stuff. But I always fell in love with it, like, helping people. I loved it. I love the competitiveness of it. Like, are you going to take on me? Do I pick at? Like, I love to always think, have something one step ahead. It was always – I just fell in love with it immediately.
Coaching-wise, if you look at coaches in the country, the most successful coaches, win-loss records were catchers. Why do you suppose that is? Why do catchers seemingly have – when it comes to coaching, a better grip on the game than other position players?
To be honest, because the game starts with the pitcher. So I think also, like, being a catcher, knowing what pitches to throw batters is definitely a key part of it. I definitely love to listen to my pitchers and be like, well, I would throw this and this. And I guess that also helps catchers be like, okay, I see where you're coming from. So coaching would definitely, and like just always having to think, what can be better? How can we get different plays? Because also a play that you run always starts with the catcher. And you have to execute those plays starting with the catcher. And if you can't execute plays, you can't win.
You almost, the catcher almost touches the ball on every play, almost.
Yes, every time. And like, I love to do it. I love it so much.
And being from Louisiana, it's like there's some pretty doggone good softball teams, including the one in Natchitoches. The Demons have always been really good in softball. You could have wound up there, but you wound up here. How did Southern Miss luck out?
I always had an open book. I never shut anybody out and everything, and I always kept my eye open and all this other stuff. But it's whenever I came to Southern Miss, Coach Poole, CP, she felt like motherly, like she always cared for her athletes, and she always gave, like, she always encourages, she always gives you a piece of, like, her mind nicely. And it was just like, I just saw so much insight and so much for the game here, and I was like, this is where I want to be. She always gave you, like, she gives you all the tools and all this other stuff, and then the coaches she brings in, like Coach Matt, he's like an encourager. He's going to put you in challenges that you don't want to be in, but knows that you're going to face that. And I love that competitiveness here. I love the bond that we have here, and I just fell in love with it immediately.
I've asked your other teammates this up, but I want to get your spin on it. This wasn't supposed to happen. I mean, I know going into the season, you guys, we want to win, we're going to win the league. But people who follow college softball said, as young as this Southern Miss team is, they are not supposed to win this many games.
Yes.
So how is it happening? How do you answer that question?
I would definitely say our team chemistry is a lot better, and as we're sitting out here, you obviously see people taking reps.
Yeah, practice has been over, by the way.
Yes. And I think that's another part of it. Like, you see people out here getting extra reps individually, and it comes together as a team. I would definitely say that. And then Coach Matt behind the scenes with hitting, he's definitely put some things together for us, and we've just been making contact with the ball and producing a lot better, and our D defense has become such a game changer for our pitchers working behind them. And you obviously see why they're still out here after practice.
Final question before I let you go. Talk about the transition from third base to catcher. Whose idea was it? Why was it suggested? And how did you mentally deal with the possibility that that might happen?
So 16U, I was a primary league third baseman, and then I would, like, float in catching. And then after that, I became straight-up catcher. And it was just, I told my coach, it's a lot. I'm, like, sitting back on balls that I shouldn't because I'm so used to being behind the plate. And then I would be spastic behind the plate like I was at third base. So she was like, which one do you want to be? And I was like, I want to be a catcher. I find that more comfortable. I find it more fitting. I love it. I like to get a pinch runner. I can't lie.
It's not a position that a lot of people want to play.
No, and I think most of it being is because the blocking. You don't want to get hit with a ball. Like, getting hit with a ball does not sound fun for people. And another thing, it is hard. It is challenging. You have to worry about, like, where does she prominently miss with this certain pitch? If I have a runner on base, what situation are we in? Where is the, like, it's just a lot of thinking, and a lot of people get overwhelmed by that. And that's why I think whenever you have a good catcher behind the plate, they make it look so easy.
All right, that's Casey Bennett, a catcher for the Lady Eagles. Now, Daniel, this is a dangerous question to ask a pitcher like yourself.
Okay.
But a lot of people, Kelly Center, believe that catchers are the smartest and toughest people on the baseball team, and we're obviously talking about softball too.
I would 100% agree. Absolutely.
You agree?
Every baseball team
agrees.
A pitcher agrees, and every baseball team I've ever been a part of, the catcher was one of the strongest, one of the grittiest, one of the hardest working players we had. They have to. It just has to come natural to that position. Coach Palmer was a catcher. Coach Berry was a catcher. The catcher can see the whole field. Mm-hmm. They're the general on the field. So mm-hmm. knowing where everybody should be and when and where the ball's going, where the plays are going to be, that translates nice into, you know, becoming a head coach one day.
Yeah, and kind of like this kid said too, you're in the action. You're touching the ball almost every play.
Every single play. I mean, you know, next to the pitcher, you're going to touch the ball more than anybody else on the field.
And I would attest that in fast pitch softball, pitcher catcher is even more dominant than in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe so. I don't know more, but it's definitely right there in line because the game is so similar. I always wondered as a hitter, I always wanted to hit off that softball pitcher because it's like, man, there it seems like it's just coming right in there. But these girls, you know, the mound is a lot closer to home plate than in baseball. So, you know, some of these girls are throwing the equivalent of 90 to 100 miles an hour with a softball.
Interesting, because the length is –
yeah, and it's coming from, you know, a foot and a half, 2 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. She sounded like a wonderful young lady, and glad that she's a Southern Miss.
I have been told, though, that the baseball players – would not find it as easy to hit a softball pitcher in college as they would think.
You would, you know, there's a video out there of the Jenny Finch, probably the most famous softball player for, you know, played Olympic baseball. There's, you know, she's pitching to Albert Pujols, and Albert Pujols took one swing and just walked away. He missed it. He was not
really.
He knew right then he had no chance.
And look, in the minute we have left, later this week we did an interview yesterday with Seth Smith. You know his parents. He's the shortstop, of course, for Southern Miss. And you said his mother was an enormous softball player.
So, yeah, we went to the same high school, West Lauderdale High School in Collinsville, just north of Meridian. West Lauderdale had a great softball and a great baseball program. And she was probably the best softball player I've ever seen in my life. We would do, you know, co-ed games in the summer. She played shortstop. You know, it wasn't a guy. She had a great arm. She could hit. She was strong. She was fast. Seth's definitely got some good genes.
And his dad was a major league baseball player.
Jason, he was known as Mr. Smooth. I mean, one of the smoothest shortstops I've ever seen. He played it, I think, just 1 year at Meridian before he got drafted. Smooth little lefty swing, too. So, Seth's got some really talented parents.
So he couldn't help but be a baseball player.
He was born to be a baseball player.
Yeah. I said to him in the interview, I think you heard that, too, during the weekend, how the South Isle announcers were bemoaning all weekend that Seth Smith was a Mobile kid but playing for the Golden Eagle.
He's the Golden Eagle right now, so that's
what
matters.
Get over it. That's what I say. We'll be right back. Wrap up this edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Look, now if you got some gold or some silver laying around your house and you'd like to turn it into cash, you need to see our friend Marty Vick down at Jewel Masters. They're on Highway 98, right across the street from Academy Sports. Look, no jewelry store in the Pine Belt has been buying gold and silver longer than Jewel Masters. Nobody knows more about it than Marty Vick, and you're just not going to get a better price or be treated any better by anybody in the Pine Belt that you do business with than Marty and Cindy Vick at Jewel Masters. So if you got gold or silver you need to sell, you need the cash, you want the cash, just take it to Jewel Masters, ask for Marty, and tell him that you heard about it on the Eagle Hour, and you'll walk away with cold, hard cash in your pocket. Mo' Beignet Company, great place for dessert any night of the week. They're at 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, and we hope the next time you're in the market for something really sweet to eat, you'll go to Mo' Beignet, order a fresh batch of beignets. They'll cook them when you get there and get yourself a warm coffee or a cold one, and we know that you're going to have a good time. Okay, Daniel, so we've learned today from you and these guys on the show that catchers are the smartest and the most, toughest people on the team. And we've also learned that the catcher for the Lady Eagles, Casey Bennett, has a big, big personality.
Big personality, yeah. She sounds awesome. I mean, she sounds like she'd be a great teammate.
Yeah, she held her own with Kelly Santer, if you'll notice.
That's rare. Kelly can usually out-talk anybody.
Yeah, but I think Casey may have out-talked Santer this time. All right, let's get back to serious business. On the road tonight, 8 RPI, important or not?
I think probably if, let's just say worst case scenario, we lose, it's not going to hurt too bad. And vice versa, if we win, it's not going to help too much.
Yeah.
I want to say probably when you come to looking at getting to that 40-win season, which puts you in a conversation mm-hmm. to host the regional, I'd say it's probably more important to that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as RPI goes, I don't think it's going to help or hurt too much, but we definitely want to get towards 40 wins. I think we can get to 40 wins the way the season's stacking up. That's going to put us in the conversation to host the regional.
Yeah, I agree. Probably see a lot of pitchers though tonight.
Yeah, I'd like to see McCarty go at least two. Mm-hmm. They may let him go a little bit longer, but I know mm-hmm. they want these guys that don't get a lot of weekend work to get some innings in tonight.
Here's a game you can't lose. You can't lose a game this weekend to Monroe with their RPI if you want to host a tournament.
Yeah, you cannot. And, Monroe there for a while was actually playing some pretty good
baseball.
But they've
cooled way off.
They have. They have not won a series in the month of April right now. They've gone 1-2 in the last three series, and their losses have not been close. They've been, 10-2, 13-3 mm-hmm. type of losses. Mm-hmm. So kind of feel like they don't have a lot of momentum going. So anything less than a sweep this weekend, that Pete Taylor Park is going to be a letdown. Yep.
All right, we've got about 2.5 minutes left in the show. We've been talking pitcher-catcher in this hour, and you told me a great story off air. If you wouldn't mind, can you share that?
Absolutely.
All right, tell the story. And this was one of the nights that Daniel threw a complete game against Mississippi State. Go ahead, Daniel.
So, back then, it was one year we were two games, a Tuesday, Wednesday, in Starkville. The next year it was a Tuesday, Wednesday in Hattiesburg and vice versa. And Mississippi State happened to be in Hattiesburg this year. And then, Tuesday night was just terrible. They beat us 19-2. I mean, it just no matter what we did, they had an answer for it. So the next night was Wednesday. I was pitching this Wednesday, and Coach Palmer, Brad Wilcutt was our catcher. Great, catcher Southern Miss is at one of the better
pretty
ones.
Pretty good player. Yeah.
Pretty good player. And he took us aside and said, "I feel like there's some disconnect between me calling pitches. You two are going to call the game tonight." Never in my whole college career did I call it a game myself. Did in high school, college, kind of lose that. Well, Brad Wilcutt, and I maybe shook him off three or four times the entire night, was a four-hit complete game. We won, I think, maybe 6-2, I think is what we won, something like that. So, and I think the runs I gave up were maybe like in the second inning. Mm-hmm. And after, you know, the rest of the game, nobody got past second base. Mm-hmm. And Brad and I got in a rhythm. I trusted what he was calling. A lot of those guys were up on the plate. They wanted the ball out. We were jamming them in. I had one strikeout, 9 innings, mm-hmm. but was able to jam them. A lot of just lazy ground balls to the infield. Mm-hmm. Coach Palmer never let me do that again, though.
No, I thought I understood you to say you got in his face after the game and said, you see, if you'll just shut up, we'll win a lot of games. Let me call these.
Had I done that, I would have never seen the mound again.
You never really thought about doing that, did you?
That never crossed my mind. It did no. not. Did, but it was fun.
Did he acknowledge that you guys had won the game?
I don't know if he really did. I will say this. You know, after the game, we always huddled kind of in left field. He looked around, put his arm around me, and hugged me tight. Because he knew, you know, it was not him. And we bounced back so well from the night before. I think he was probably
relieved.
He
didn't
have
to say anything.
He didn't have to say
anything. When he hugged you, that's all he needed to say.
Didn't have to say a word. Yeah.
All right, Daniel, thank you for sitting in with me the whole hour today. Do you like the Eagles tonight?
Oh, yeah, I do. You know, it's going to be tough playing at their park just because you got to travel and you're not in your home park. But I still think we come out with a victory tonight.
I like their chances tonight, too. And then I'm looking for the sweep this weekend.
Absolutely.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Hey, I enjoyed it.
Daniel Stewart, everybody, from Southern Bank Corp. We could not express our gratitude to that fine bank for all they do to support our program. We do really mean that.
Hey, we're glad to do it.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Hope you'll join us. Travis Creel on the show tomorrow. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.